Hello, everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
Much like 9/11, the term Benghazi will live on in infamy, while at the same time proving to be America's finest hour by America's finest men, the shadow warriors who protect our freedoms, defend our cities, our borders, our country, and this nation. Infamy because those that could, from the highest office in our land, did nothing but wait and watch, while those that fought did everything but, quote, stand down as ordered. With us today is one such man, a warrior, American hero, Marine Corps veteran, first responder, and co-author of the number one New York Times best-selling 13 Hours, the inside account of what really happened in Benghazi, and blockbuster movie of the same name, as well as founder of ShadowWarriorsProject.org with wife Crystal, helping wounded contract warriors and their families recover, restore, and rebuild their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to Testimony, truly an honor, American hero, Mark Oz Geist. Mark, welcome to Testimony.
Yeah, thank you very much. I am so happy to be here. It is an honor.
Well, it is an honor to have you here, sir. I think most in America, Mark, have followed your story and the horrific events that left one U.S. ambassador, John Christopher Stevens, and three other brave Americans, Foreign Service Officer Sean Smith, and Embassy Security Personnel Glenn Doherty and Tyrone Woods, dead at the hands of terrorists when the U.S. Embassy in Benghazi, Libya, was brutally attacked on September 11th, 2012, for 13 grueling hours. In our brief time here today, Mark, for part one of our two-part conversation, take us into your world, your thoughts, your wounds, and the decision you would make, as you say, to, quote, get up or die, resulting in more than 25 lives being saved because of it. Oz Geist, please tell us that story and the faith you needed to carry you through.
Well, again, thank you so much for having me and hosting this. You know, and that night, September 11th, 2012, on the 11th, but ended, well, it never really ended for me as of yet, but in the sense of the battle itself ended on the 12th. And during that time, you know, as you said, we lost four great Americans who served this country gloriously, and for several years, both, you know, all of them were just great Americans and serving this country. And you know, to kind of paint the picture of Benghazi, Benghazi for me actually started, and I didn't realize how it would affect me, in 2011. And in 2011, there had been some emails released now from Sidney Blumenthal to Hillary Clinton saying, you know, get behind this this revolution going on in Benghazi, or going on in Libya. No one likes Gaddafi, so if you get behind this and we help them overthrow Gaddafi and get him out, no one, not even in the Middle East, likes him, so no one's going to care, and it'll be a great foreign policy win for you when it comes to the elections in 2016. And so in doing that, that's kind of how it started, unbeknownst to me, for me, because my life was eventually put into that circle of events in the end of July, first part of August of 2012, when I deployed over to Benghazi, Libya. And I'd been there about 40-odd days, and Tyrone Woods and Tonto and DB had all been asked to extend. They were due to rotate home before 9/11, and they had been asked to extend because the security and support for the ambassador over at the consulate was lacking. Now, we all worked over at the annex, and the annex was a CIA base, and they asked us if we could help out in security since they were short on security, and his security personnel didn't know how to get around the city as well as we did. So we had offered up, and Ty and Tonto and DB had went ahead and extended to get out there and stay out there for the period of time that the ambassador would be there.
I want to interrupt and let our audience know you were chosen to serve in the newly formed Marine Program Anti-Counterterrorism, and you eventually changed your military occupation to the specialty of intelligence and interrogation translation. You attended school where you studied Persian Farsi. You served 12 years in the U.S. Marine Corps. You've been the chief of police in Fowler, Colorado. You were assigned as liaison with the Vice Narcotics and Intelligence Unit in Colorado Springs, Colorado, as well as an investigator for crimes against children. You're a certified forensic interviewer of children, and you investigated numerous cases of abuse in which you helped secure the convictions of the perpetrator. So you have a wealth of experience, Mark, going into Libya, going into high-risk areas. Am I right about that?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. And in 2004, I started as a private security contractor for the State Department, and I worked with them for a while. And then from there, I ended up, I also trained Iraqi security forces. I was an advisor and a mentor to one of the former prime ministers of Iraq as his security advisor for his personal security detail. And then eventually I got in, that's when I got with GRS, which is Global Response Staff, with the Central Intelligence Agency, or the CIA. I like to call them the Culinary Institute of America.
Why is that?
Well, I just didn't know the name for them. There is actually a group that is the Culinary Institute of America that a lot of people go to become chefs. I just think that the CIA, it kind of goes for both of them.
Well, that's an interesting perspective. So back to you, back to Benghazi. You land there, and you hear that the compound is being attacked, and you get the order to, quote, stand down, which has been controversial. But I think most Americans would agree with the six of you that you knew that time was of the essence. And in your words, Mark, it wasn't so much the battle that killed the ambassador, but actually the inhalation of smoke from the fires that were lit at the compound and the annex. Can you weigh in on that?
Well, because we got the call to head over there, and it was, and I'm not sure who was looking at what watch, but somewhere between 9:30 and 9:40, depending on which clock you're looking at. But we got told to stand down, and the guys were ready. Everyone was ready to go within about 5 minutes, and they were going to get ready to head out the gate, and our chief of base told them to stand down. And, we've never had a detailed description of why he did that. I'm sure it wasn't an easy decision for him. I mean, he's in charge of a covert CIA base and doesn't want to give up his location or his assets. But you have, when the call came in, it wasn't they were being attacked. It was they had been overran, which to us means that they had already been occupied by foreign fighters taking over what would have, if it's a U.S. consulate, it would be U.S. soil. If it's a temporary, to me, it's U.S. soil because that's where the ambassador is. The next thing, three times we were told to stand down, and then what came over the radio and the straw, I guess, that kind of broke the camel back for us was when the guys come over the radio and said, if you don't get here now, we are all going to die. And, of course, they had a few expletives in there as well, which kind of reinforced it. You can hear the fear and the dread in their voice. And with that, everybody just loaded up in the cars and took off.
Wow.
And headed over there.
Wow. Now, I found it interesting, Mark. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Mark, quote, Oz Geis, one of the American heroes of the 13 Hours book and movie, What Really Happened in Benghazi. Now, when you heard that message and you were all on board to fight and you landed at the compound, what were your initial thoughts? Did you think you'd make it out?
Well, you know, and none of us believe that we're ever going to lose. I mean, that's just not a mentality that you can be involved in that kind of conflict or in that kind of profession and have ever. You know, to me, there was never a time we were going to lose. There was never a time that we would give up or, and that's just kind of, it goes back to, as you said before, and it's a quote is, you know, you have a choice to either, to me, we all have a choice in life to either lose or not. And it's up to us to decide on how we want to pursue and move forward in life. And to me, you do it no matter what's in your way. You can't go over it, go around it, or go under it, or go through it. And I've just always had that mentality, and it's taken me through everything that I've always done in life.
How important was the support of your comrades during those crucial hours? Did you feel let down by any of them? Did you feel you maybe let them down in some way? What were your thoughts?
Well, you know, and with the guys that we worked with and that are, you know, they're so professional and experienced in their craft, and there was no doubt at any time that each one of us was going to fill the position that we needed to. And that's, and I'm talking about the six members of our global response staff. Because that's just, you know, we've trained together or we've all been through the same type of training. So we understand where each person's skill set is. And, you know, the last thing in the world you ever want to do is let down those you're protecting or those that are on your team. And, you know, that teamwork and knowing that they're with you no matter what really just gives you that extra strength. Even if there was an idea or a negative thought coming in your mind, knowing that they're there for you and with you just helps you overcome that.
Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to American hero, Marine Corps veteran, and co-author of the number one New York Times best-selling book and movie, 13 Hours, the inside account of what really happened in Benghazi, Mark Oz Geist. You can learn more about Mark's work, ministry, and mission by visiting ShadowWarriorsProject.org, a nonprofit which he and wife Crystal founded to help our wounded military contractors and their families recover, restore, and rebuild their lives. Mark, it has been an absolute honor having you share just a little of your harrowing story that no one can ever really know except you and the men that fought alongside of you, yet the lives that were saved because of you. We look forward to hearing much, much more next week. God bless you.
Thank you so much, and God bless you and all the listeners out there.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard the harrowing and true account of one of the, quote, Brave Six, CIA special op contractors that chose to defy stand-down orders in order to save lives, 25-plus lives to be exact, during the terrorist attack on the U.S. Embassy and its annex in Benghazi, Libya, September 11, 2012.
And while the lives of U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three other brave Americans, Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods, would not be saved on this horrific and tragic day, what lessons can be learned, and are the American people learning them? When those who are willing to sacrifice life and limb, as my next guest will attest, literally, do not receive the support they need on or off the battlefield of life. Here to share more of his story in part two of our conversation today is Marine Corps and Special Ops veteran, co-author of the number one New York Times best-selling book, and director Michael Bay's cinematic blockbuster of the same name, 13 Hours, the inside account of what really happened in Benghazi, and founder of ShadowWarriorsProject.org with wife Crystal, helping wounded contract warriors and their families recover, restore, and rebuild their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to Testimony, a great honor indeed, American war hero, Mark Oz Geist. Mark, welcome back to Testimony.
Well, thank you so much. Glad to be back. Had a great time last week.
Well, you were great, and it was an honor to have you, and it's an honor this time as well. Mark, you nearly lost your arm in the Battle of Benghazi, having had multiple operations to correct the horrific injuries you incurred. But this does not speak to the emotional and perhaps traumatic fallout that many of our wounded warriors are left to deal with when the battle on the field is over and the battle at home for normalcy of life begins. Can you explain and then tell our listeners how all of this prompted you and your beautiful bride, Crystal, to found a nonprofit called ShadowWarriorsProject.org and what this means? Oz Geist, please tell us that story. And then I want to get your take on this upcoming critical election and who you are supporting for the next real commander-in-chief. Oz, tell us that story.
Well, you know, there's the thing most people don't realize is there's other people out there that are serving this country that we just don't hear about. And I just coined the phrase for them as shadow warriors because they work behind everybody, you know, in the shadows, so to speak. We have private security contractors that are, the majority of them are all former veterans that, because of their skill set that they've gained and their experience in the military, they get out and continue to work, and they want to serve this country. And, you know, currently, since 2001, we've had approximately 5,000 private contractors killed in 80 different countries in the war on terror.
Wow.
And that number is big. And, you know, they're and they deserve, I kind of equate them to the merchant marines of World War II. The merchant marines were hauling stuff, and they were transporting equipment and doing things for the Navy to help them, and they weren't getting the same benefits as what the military was. Well, eventually that changed, and the same thing with contractors. Our insurance is a workman's comp policy, so if we get injured, we have to file a claim with the Office of Workman's Comp, and they put us in touch with a doctor and an insurance company, and everything has to get approved before we can get taken care of. And that really poses a problem when you're trying to heal so you can get back to work.
Mark, tell us about your own personal journey to healing, because in the movie 13 Hours, your arm is hanging by a thread, yet you are still fighting. And then you get home, you make it out alive, you save 25-plus people, but now you have to heal. 2 years, 13-plus surgeries, and you're still on the mend, not just physically, but psychologically. And in the news, we've been hearing about PTSD and Donald Trump. And would you weigh in on that whole aspect of what people like yourself give to our country, not just their blood, their guts, their courage, and their lack of fear, but they literally give their all from the top of their head to the soles of their feet?
Yes, Pam. You know, and I, for myself, as you said, I've had 14, roughly 14 surgeries. You know, and my arm was probably the most graphic because it did almost get severed off. But I was also probably the closest for me to being killed was I had gotten hit with shrapnel in the neck about a millimeter from my carotid artery. I had 3 or 4 holes in my chest and still have metal in there. I had another piece of shrapnel hit near my femoral artery and another 20 or 30 holes of, you know, smaller minor injuries all over my body. And, you know, and that's just, and I think that's, I guess it's hard to really put it into words how to keep going, but that's where, you know, I was sitting on the rooftop after the mortars landed, you know, they quit. And I realized I had a choice to either, Tigwood came up on the rooftop to help the other guys. He helped me get a tourniquet on my arm. And then it was a matter of me getting down off by myself because I knew he had to take care of the other two that were up on, or the other three that were up on the rooftop. And he took care of them, and I was able to get myself climbed down a 15-foot ladder on the side of the building, go inside, and I ended up having to direct the case officers on how to even provide medical treatment for myself.
Wow. So you really have to know what you're doing. And I think part of your organization, your nonprofit, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Mark Oz Geist, one of the heroes of the 13-hour Benghazi debacle in Libya and the lives that he saved because of his courage in the face of fear. You were directing them. You knew what to do. And your organization, ShadowWarriorsProject.org, actually has product that Americans can purchase to provide these warriors out in the field. You probably would have loved to have had what you are providing now. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, the medical industry has advanced and continues to advance so fast. You know, they've got better clotting agents, better tourniquets. And, you know, our goal is to give our war fighters out there the best stuff that they can have. And provide the equipment that they want and that they can use to help save lives and save their own lives as well.
Exactly. Now, what are you and your wife, Crystal, doing specifically to help these shadow warriors? Do they contact you directly and say, I need financial help, I need medical help? What is the scope of your organization?
Well, I kind of break it down into three areas of where we try to help. And the first one is, should somebody get injured and or killed, their family or friends can contact us, and we're known throughout our own community and how to get a hold of. And our goal is to be able to give a family, you know, like a prepaid credit card for $5,000 just to help them with those immediate expenses that inevitably show up because, you know, we've been through it and we kind of know that there's things you just don't think about. I mean, you may get out to see your loved one in the hospital in Washington, D.C. or in Germany, and you forgot to be, you know, a stroller, or you forgot clothes or something, and because you're not in that mindset when your loved one is injured or killed to think of those things. And so initially we want to take care of them in getting them to their loved ones. And then the secondary and tertiary things are, because as a contractor, you know, and we do make really good money, but then when you get injured, you become on workman's comp, which is about a third of what you were making. So if somebody's, you know, you can't determine what your bills or when that's going to happen. So in case somebody has just paid off their house or their car and they're then struggling for bills to be made, we want to help them with that. And the long-term thing is if the spouse has to then become the breadwinner, and then we want to get her educated and get her into job placement where she can feel comfortable taking care of the family and also providing scholarships for the children of those that are killed or disabled to where they can't work anymore.
In our remaining moments here, Mark, we are in a critical election year. Who will you be voting for and supporting, and why?
You know, it's anybody who wants to look up my name, it's pretty easy to figure out. It's Donald J. Trump. And and you know, there's several reasons why. For me, the first and foremost is, and that goes back to as we started our first segment last week, do you as the Americans out there want someone like Hillary Clinton, who puts people's, their sons and daughters' lives in jeopardy, in harm's way, because she's worried about getting elected? It's not about the altruistic values that they try to sell us on of helping the Libyans and this and that, or those values, that those true American values and traditional American values that we have of honor, ethics, integrity, and courage. You know, those that go, you know, we go to church on Sunday, those things that we're raised in doing that, of we demand of our leaders. And I think of the two, Donald Trump is far above where she's at. I mean, she's had controversy her whole life, and it's all been in politics, and it's all been because she's tried to better herself. And I think she's a very selfish person from her actions.
Right, and I imagine during that 13 hours, you all did not get the support you were expecting, and what a letdown that must have been, Mark, from your own country and those that had the power to empower you and get you the help that you needed. It's just horrific on that account alone. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to American hero, Marine Corps veteran, and co-author of the number one New York Times best-selling book and movie, 13 Hours, the inside account of what really happened in Benghazi, Mark Oz Geist. You can learn more about Mark's work, ministry, and mission by visiting ShadowWarriorsProject.org and get involved and help Mark and his wife, Crystal, attend to our wounded military contractors and warriors. Mark, I just want to thank you for the incredible sacrifice, courage, determination, and resolute conviction that against all odds you found a way to save innocent lives, protect a nation, a country, and a noble heritage of what it really means to be an American hero on and off the battlefield of life. We thank you. God bless you, and the Lord rewards you, Mark, in this life and the one to come.
You know, thank you so much, and God bless you and your ministry as well for getting the word out, not only on this, on everything else that's important to our listeners out there. We can never do enough. I think helping each other out is what really is our mission in life.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.